well-known passage, Romans chapter 8. And we'll begin with a verse that had a profound effect upon me lying in a hospital bed years and years ago, not long after conversion. We'll start at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What wonderful words they are. Well, may God bless them to our hearts. We're continuing to look in the scriptures, using the alphabet as a simple tool, at different things we're told about Christ. And we've reached the letter I, and I want to look at Christ as our intercessor this evening. Consider the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word intercession has the meaning originally to plead the cause of somebody else. And in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, in heaven, he pleads the cause of those who believed upon him, those who are saved through faith in him. In Romans 8 and verse 34, it asks the question, who is he that condemneth? The answer to that is Christ. Christ is going to carry out the final judgment, and he will condemn a guilty, lost, unforgiven sinners. But he has died for sins, he has risen again, and all who have come to faith in him, he's made satisfaction for all of their sins, showing that they've been dealt with, and now he's at the right hand of God. He ascended, he's exalted, and at God's right hand. That doesn't mean, and don't visualize it in that way, as if God's some physical body there and his right hand is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a word that speaks of power and authority. And the Lord Jesus Christ will never condemn those who believed upon him for salvation, because he has died for their sins and he has risen again from the dead. He has made satisfaction. He's dealt with all your sins on faith in him. But what's more, in heaven, with power and authority, it says, he also maketh intercession for us. A couple of weeks ago, under G, we looked at Jesus as our great high priest. And the high priest offered sacrifices on behalf of the people. And he would also plead before God for the people. He would come before God on the people's behalf. Well, similarly, the Lord Jesus, our great high priest, gave himself as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He shed his blood and he died on Calvary's cross. and now he makes intercession for us. And the us, who's that talking about? It's all those who are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told this in God's word. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't be condemned, because Christ has shed his blood and died for our sins. They're forgiven. Every ground of condemnation has been removed. And his intercession there before us means we are delivered from all condemnation. There's no condemnation for anyone in Christ Jesus, because by his own blood he entered into the holy place, heaven, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Of course, the intercession of Christ on our behalf, on behalf of all those who trust in him for salvation, was prophesied in the Old Testament. In the great chapter Isaiah 53, speaking about God's promised Messiah servant, it's mostly taken up speaking about his work on the cross. We're told he'd be wounded for our transgressions. He'd be bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes we would be spiritually healed. He would bear our iniquity. He would make his soul an offering for our sin. He would justify many bearing their iniquities. He would pour out his soul unto death. But it says also, he will make intercession for the transgressors. His finished, perfect work, which is described quite fully there in Isaiah 53, for sin, is the ground, the basis of every single believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, acceptance by Almighty God. But Jesus' intercession for all who trust in him to save them as a sinner, it doesn't end there. It's not just to do with the fact that he has dealt with our sins are forgiven, there's no condemnation for us as sinners. He continues to make intercession for us. That goes on continually. His atoning work on the cross was once and for all. It needs no repetition. But his intercessory work needs to go on continually, and it does go on continually. It never, ever ends. And if it wasn't for that work of the Lord Jesus Christ, nobody would be saved. You've got to be very clear about that in your heart and mind. If it wasn't for the intercession of Christ, no sinner would arrive safely in glory. You see, there'd be no need for Christ, whoever lives, to make intercession for us, to do so, if when we trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we immediately went to heaven. But that would only happen in very rare, exceptional, unusual cases. In most people's cases, we come to faith in Christ by the grace of God, and we find ourselves living in a fallen world. We find ourselves facing the opposition of the devil. We find ourselves facing, on the one hand, the persecution of the world, and on the other hand, the pressure of the world to conform to its ungodly aims and principles and practices. And it's not going to be our willpower and spiritual strength as Christians that will guarantee we'll be saved to the uttermost, we'll arrive safely in glory. It's the fact that Christ makes intercession on behalf of us, his people. You see, the one great guarantee that genuine believers in Christ will arrive safely in heaven is Christ's ceaseless, continual intercession for us in heaven. It secures for us all we need, so the devil, the ungodly world, our own personal weaknesses don't stop us arriving safely in glory at the last. He continually seeks on our behalf all the blessings of what he has accomplished for us in his atoning sacrifice for our sin. Jesus, by his intercession for us in heaven, gets for us whatever is necessary in the way of grace, in the way of strength that we need. You know the other well-known verse that we have in Hebrews. Wherefore, he is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And notice how the verse goes. He is able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. It's not full stop. He's not saying, everyone who comes to God by him, that's enough, they'll be saved. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him, seeing, because he ever lives to make intercession for them. Jesus doesn't carry out part of our salvation by coming and dying for our sins and rising again, but leaving the rest to us. No. All who come to God by him, all who ask God in Christ to save them a sinner, Christ perfectly, wonderfully saves. And he does so because he ever lives to make intercession for us. You see, a sinner couldn't be saved if Christ didn't come and die for our sins and suffer the penalty those sins deserve in our place. But equally, and this is often sometimes forgotten, and that's why I'm stressing it, a sinner could not be saved without Christ's continual intercession for them. You see, no matter the difficulties, no matter the problems that we face in life as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter all the hindrances that would stop us arriving safely in glory, they will not do so. And the reason why is because Christ ever lives to make intercession for us. So we receive the grace, the mercy, the strength, the help. You could go on and on that we actually need. A good passage to help us understand what Christ's intercession for us will be like is actually found in John 17. Because there Jesus is praying on earth, and in his prayer to the Father, he does intercede for his people. And we get a glimpse, an insight into something of what his intercession is like in heaven now on our behalf. He says, I pray for them, those that thou hast given me. So he's talking about those who have come to God for salvation by faith in him. I pray for them, he says. I don't pray for the world. This intercession it's talking about of Jesus here is an intercession for those who have come to God by him. And in his prayers intercession, he always asks the Father for what is in agreement with the will of the Father. So everything he prays for, he intercedes for, is answered, will be accomplished. It's always going to be answered in the affirmative, because he's never going to ask anything contrary to the will of his Father. So he intercedes on our behalf. And he recognizes that this is a dangerous world for his children, for those that have believed upon him. And he prays on the one hand that we might have his joy fulfilled in us. But he doesn't pray and intercede for us though God would take us out of the world, but rather that while we're in the world, that we would be kept from evil. And that's a very, very general word there that's in view. It really means probably anything that would separate us from God. And that prayer is obviously answered, because we're reminded at the end of Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He prays for us, he intercedes for us, that we be sanctified by God's word, which is truth. So just as he prays for his people when he was here on earth, we can almost be certain he's interceding for us in heaven, that we might be more holy people, that we may be sanctified through God's truth. He prays there in John 17, he intercedes for all who come to God by him, that the union he has with the Father will be seen in the union those who are saved by him have together. You see, we're all part, as believers, of the same family of God. We're all brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Little wonder Christ says, love one another as I have loved you. But here is the Son interceding for his people, that the relationship they have with one another might be similar to the union, the fellowship the Father has with the Son, which is a big, big warning to us in how we deal with and speak about and relate to any other genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He also prays there in John 17 that those who come to God by him, for a prayer this is, be with him where he is and behold his glory. You see, there you have it really in almost that one prayer. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's absolutely certain, it's absolutely guaranteed that ultimately you'll be with Christ, you'll see him like he is in all his glory, and you'll be like him. Because he is interceding with the Father that will be the case. So don't think of it generally, the whole church, think of it as just yourself. Christ is interceding with the Father that you be with him where he is and that you personally will behold his glory. So in John 17, we get a little glimpse of Jesus' prayer on earth as to how he intercedes for us in heaven. And doesn't it speak to us of Christ's love for us, care for us, and compassion for us, that he ever lives to make intercession for us? What a thing when you think about it. And I want to leave you with this thought for your encouragement, something to think about. There are times when you won't pray enough for yourself, but there is no time when Christ isn't praying for you. He's always interceding for you. And there'll be times when you don't think about Christ enough, but there is no time when Christ doesn't think about you and doesn't intercede for you.